It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. Welcome and happy Monday, everyone. We record this hours after the end of week number 8, at least Sunday style. Still another Monday night game to go. And, of course, at the end of the line for the World Series. Fun game last night if you were a Royals fan. Not so much fun if you're a Mets fan. Really weird series, but that's another story for another day. It's time to get into some football. Of course, you can check us out on social media, at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter. And, of course, the granddaddy of them all, the blog, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. As we guide you along this 2015 NFL season, as you know, the Sunday breakdown, we try to get through the slate of games in roughly 10 minutes or so. Alas, let's get down to it. It is time for the game of the week. And well, when you have two guys combine for over 1,000 yards passing and 13 touchdowns, I guess we have to start there. The New Orleans Saints, 52, the New York Giants, 49, in perhaps the wildest game of the season. Neither defense could stop either offense, and of course, in a game where you have 13 total touchdown passes, it's decided by the kicking game and a bad special teams play. Tied at 49 with 20 seconds left of all things. The Giants get called for a face mask penalty, and that sets up a Kai Forbath 50-yard field goal for the Saints. And that improves the Saints now all of a sudden to 4-4 after they looked dead. The Breeze injury a few weeks back, they have to trot Luke McCown out there, and it looked like their season was over. Now at 4-4, they're only two games behind the Atlanta Falcons, which we'll get to in a moment. And it's in terms of second place, of course, the Carolina Panthers right now leading the NFC South with their perfect 6-0 mark heading into Monday Night Football. Then the Giants atop the NFC East. Here are a couple of things to take out of this game that would concern me, obviously, from first the Giants side. Clearly, the Giants have some issues in that back seven. I don't need to tell you 511 yards and 7 TDs equals, yeah, you have some problems. But, look, you gotta win the games where Eli plays that well. And it's not to say he can't do that or a facsimile thereof each Sunday, but that's a hard thing to swallow when he plays that well and you still lose a football game. That's going to be a tough one to deal with for the Giants if, in fact, they do not win the NFC East. They still look in decent shape, but, man, that's a tough one if you're a Giants fan, without a doubt. I mean, the Saints in years past have been tough to beat in New Orleans, but not as of late. That is a rough, rough loss for the Giants. Let's move elsewhere around the league. Speaking of defense, where we saw a lack thereof between the Saints and Giants, not so much the issue on Sunday Night Football between the Broncos and Packers. 29-10 win for Denver, a decisive win over the Packers, as now the Packers fall by the wayside from the land of the unbeatens, and it's Denver improving to 7-0. This was a terrible performance by the Packers. A lot of credit needs to be given to Denver's defense. They played extremely well. They held Aaron Rodgers to 77 yards passing, which I believe is the lowest mark for a start in his career. It was, from minute 1 to minute 60, at least for my money, the worst I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. Just nobody was open. And I remember going back to the start of the preseason, you know, and then as the preseason evolved and you see that Jordy Nelson tears up his knee and he's out for the year, and people were like, well, this really shouldn't impact the Packers a lot. I'm sorry? I know Rodgers is good, okay? But you got to have guys that can get open. As great as Tom Brady is, look what happened to that 2013 team when Rob Gronkowski was out. It's a different threat offensively when you don't have somebody who can stretch the field. It just is. It makes things a lot harder on you. And that is going to be the challenge the Packers have moving forward because, granted, that's probably the best secondary they're going to see all year, but the problem is twofold. They may very well see that team again in the Super Bowl. I don't know that there's enough out there on the field for Green Bay to be able to turn that type of performance around. And also, I think the other thing that has to concern you, too, is they're not getting a lot out of the running game right now. Eddie Lacy, kind of another middling performance. He has some ankle issues right now, and James Starks was banged up throughout the week. But a lot of trouble signs there if you're the Green Bay Packers. Meanwhile, Peyton Manning, over 300 yards passing. He looked better. Not the best of Peyton Manning, but he looked better. He threw an interception, which is his 11th of the season. But they ran the ball effectively, ran for over or nearly 200 yards, and compiled over 500 yards of total offense. I think you have to be pleased if you're the Broncos, obviously, with what you saw out of the offense. If that's what you're getting out of the offense the rest of the way, I think you'll take your chances under the circumstances if you are the Denver Broncos. So just a crazy, crazy game in terms of Green Bay being totally shut down and stifled. The win for Peyton Manning, 186th win of his career, which ties him for the most wins ever by a quarterback starting in the NFL, which is currently shared with another Green Bay Packer, Brett Favre. Kansas City 45, Detroit 10 as we go across the pond to London. Another dreadful London game as the Chiefs demolish the Lions. The Lions scored the first 3 points of the game and then got their doors blown off. I think it's time to blow that coaching staff out of Detroit. They're just not getting through to these guys. I know they made the playoffs last year, but to me, the second year is always a test for a head coach because the first year, you're still kind of riding the fumes from the previous administration. And a lot of times, we've seen over the years throughout NFL history, that's actually a good thing. Look at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Look at the, to a lesser degree, the 49ers. They need a different voice. They get one. Jim Harbaugh comes in, leads them to the NFC Championship game. Second year, leads them to the Super Bowl. So, like, that, to me, is the tipping point, the second year. And it is not going well for the Lions. A lot of trouble there in Detroit. The Chiefs, 206 yards rushing as a team. I think if you're Detroit, getting back to them for a second, it's the bye week. It's time to start looking at making some legit changes, not just firing a coach here or there. I think you need to say bye-bye to Jim Caldwell. Tampa Bay 23, Atlanta 20. Brutal loss for the Falcons. Brutal loss for the Falcons. 6-2 now. They committed 4 turnovers, including a couple that were in Tampa territory. They had trouble with exchanges and just really sloppy play from the Falcons. And in overtime, tied at 20, Jameis Winston puts up an interception on a tee for them in OT, and it's dropped. One of those days for the Falcons. Matt Ryan throws for 397 yards. It does not matter. They trailed at 1 point, 20-3. This is the concern with the Falcons you have. You know, we talked about previous coaching administrations. This is why coaches come in after a year and then clean house heading into year two. Because just the mentality sometimes is not where you want it to be. And some of the other guys just don't know how to finish games and things like that. And now Atlanta here has gone a few weeks with really not playing well. Really had to scuffle to beat Tennessee. Having some trouble with the lesser lights in the league. Congratulations to Tampa on the 3-point W. Baltimore 29, San Diego 26, a pair of teams that will not be a part of the postseason. It's over for Steve Smith, sadly, a torn Achilles for Smith. He is done for the year. I did appreciate on Twitter how he thanked the Ravens fans and said, but unfortunately, he has to ice up son now. That's a good usage of the phrase that he made famous when talking about Aqib Talib a few years ago when the Panthers played the Patriots, and he told Talib to, quote, ice up, son. Best of luck to Steve Smith. Love watching the guy play. A lot of energy. A little mouthy for my taste, but fun. Minnesota 23, Chicago 20. The Vikings improved to 5-2 on the year. Adrian Peterson, 103 yards rushing. Stephon Diggs with a 40-yard touchdown catch to tie it. Field goal late to win it after a leaping catch by Charles Johnson to set up the eventual go-ahead and game-winning field goal. Another lousy loss to the Bears. I mean, we know at this point the Bears aren't good. Matt Forte is injured as well. That appears to be, I believe, a knee injury. So all around, bad day for the Bears. Minnesota now a part of the playoff discussion at 5-2. And remember, they've won a couple of games here now in the division on the road. Going to Detroit, going to Chicago, games where, you know, you don't know how a young team's going to respond to that. They got it done. Arizona, 34. Cleveland, 20. The Cardinals struggled early on, but they improved to 6-2. They crushed the Browns in the second half after trailing 20-10 at halftime. Outscored Cleveland 24-0. Carson Palmer, 374 yards and 4 touchdowns. He said in the post-game interview this is the best called game that he had been a part of since, like, Pop Warner. I think he was serious. But obviously in that second half, that would show you they knew what they were doing in terms of attacking the Cleveland Browns offense. Josh McCown injured in the contest. And you know, Johnny Manziel, at some point Cleveland's going to have to turn the keys over to Mr. Manziel, whether they want to or not. You got to find out whether this guy can play, and that needs to be sooner rather than later. Houston 20, Tennessee 6 in another dreadful AFC South matchup. How about this? The Texans, who get mutilated last week by the Dolphins, and we all saw what happened on Monday to Miami last Thursday. Houston is 3-5. They might be the worst 3-5 team in the history of the league. Just terrible. Brian Hoyer, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hard to believe they could be tied for first place, depending on what happens to the Colts on Monday night. Crazy. Cincinnati staying undefeated. They are now 7-0. Defeating Pittsburgh 16-10. The big news out of this one, Le'Veon Bell suffers a torn MCL. He is done for the rest of the season. Huge, huge loss for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger came back from a knee injury, but he was picked off 3 times. The Bengals, give them credit. They battled back. They were trailing late, and they turned it into something. They were able to grab the win off the touchdown pass to A.J. Green. The Steelers, folks, are in big, 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 big trouble. This is going to be a hard game for them to win, even with Le'Veon Bell. I thought if Bell was there the whole game, I thought they would have been able to pull it out. But still, the Bengals have played really well this season defensively. This is an awful loss for the Steelers, no question about it. And now, as we'll get to in a few moments, you know, the AFC wildcard discussion is becoming a little bit more of a deeper discussion as we move along the American Football Conference. St. Louis, 27. San Francisco, 6. I'm going to put up a post later on today on the blog about the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick, man, we talk about guys who need to go. He's another guy. Just, he's not good. 20 of 41 yesterday for under 200 yards passing. And there was a play when the Niners were backed up at their own goal line. Nobody was covering Torrey Smith. And Smith is like basically waving, jumping up and down. And Kaepernick just could be bothered. Not paying attention at all. Symbolic of the 49ers season. Todd Gurley, man. Holy ghost. Tremendous. 133 yards. Another touchdown. 71-yarder. This guy is the real deal. The Rams at 4-3. They are now certainly a part of the mix when you start talking about postseason. And also, hey, look. They're a part of, really, you look at how they've played here. They're in the discussion for that division, too. So it's a little bit broader than them, you know, hoping to get into the playoffs. I think they have a shot at the division, too. Oakland, 34. The Jets, 20. Derek Carr, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns. The Raiders, overall, 451 yards of total offense against what a lot of people thought, and me included, one of the better defenses in the AFC and in the NFL. Latavius Murray, 113 yards on the ground. The Jets, seeing both Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith suffer injuries, they're probably going to have to bring somebody in this week to have them get looked at. That's a disastrous loss potentially for the Jets. Both teams now at 4-3, and as we talked about with the Steelers having their issues, you know, you look at that wild card race. Oakland starting to throw their hat in the ring, man. I love it. I love Oakland being good, especially with these guys, young and exciting crew that they have there with the big three on offense. Great, great stuff from the Raiders. Hope it continues. Final game of the day to take a look at, Seattle 13, Dallas 12. Ugh. Just watching Dallas just saps your energy at this point because of how bad the quarterback play is. Matt Castle could not lead a comeback after the Seahawks got a late field goal to go up by a point. Is Seattle good? I mean, that's the biggest concern I have out of all this. Seattle has to play the Rams again. They have yet to play the Cardinals. Very worried about them. Dez Bryant, also a lot of controversy involving him. Ricardo Lockett took a big hit in the game on a special teams play, got knocked out. And the claim was that Bryant was yelling on the field, "That's what you get." Ugh. And then Bryant, after the game was over, apparently went off on the media, calling them dirty expletives repeatedly. So, not a good look from Dez Bryant. And if that is true, of course, you just watch that game towards the end and felt like the Cowboys had no shot of getting the W. Just no shot. Being led by Matt Cassel to victory. So sad, Cowboys fans. So sad. Now, 2-5 on the year, and they have lost all five games without Tony Romo. I know people keep saying, well, wait until Romo gets back. Wait until Romo gets back. I don't know that that's going to fix everything, because even he is going to need time to get reacclimated to things. So, tough, tough challenge for the Cowboys ahead, even in the terrible NFC East. That will do it for today's show. A reminder, social media-wise, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on social media, at joemsrightarm via Twitter. That will do it. We will talk to you again later on in the week. Happy football, everybody.